Now, significant harm was done to children who were attending South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, as we heard in yesterday's shocking HSE report. Hundreds of children were put at risk by treatment administered to them, and the report said significant harm was done to 46 of them. Now, a nationwide audit of CAMHS operational guidelines is now being carried out. I'm joined by Simon Mills, Senior Counsel, former doctor and author of Medical Law in Ireland. Simon, thank you very much for joining us on this morning. You've had a chance, I know, to look over at least some of this report. What's your overall reaction, first of all, with both your medical and legal hats on?
Well, I suppose all I can say, I mean, it's not open to me to delve too much into everything that went on. Particularly, I'm conscious that there's reports today of the report being sent to the Gardaí, but it does appear that a significant number of children received medication that was not indicated, or if it was indicated, that wasn't followed up in the way that might have been ideal. And as a consequence of that, mercifully, nobody seems to have suffered lasting or life-threatening harm. But as a result of that, a subset of the children who were given this medication certainly suffered significant side effects.
And there was no system, it would seem from the report, to check the prescribing of medications or the quality of service by this junior doctor's supervisor. So what would be the normal practice around prescribing and how it's monitored?
Well, how it's monitored will depend slightly on the structures that are in place. But if we assume that a particular hierarchy is in place where everybody but the consultant is in training, then normally, although those people who are not the consultant are working and delivering healthcare to people, they are also in training and therefore under a degree of supervision. The degree of supervision that's going to be applied will always be a question of the circumstances of the case and will necessarily also be a question of available resources to carry out supervision. And it may well be that more junior members of staff need more supervision. It may be that more junior members of staff are absolutely excellent and do not need so much supervision. But certainly the expectation in general in a hierarchical system is that those who are lower down the hierarchy will be supervised by those mm-hmm. above the hierarchy. It does highlight a problem, of course, which is that in some settings there may be difficulties about supervision of prescribing. So, for example, a general practitioner in sole practice may fall into bad prescribing habits. Somebody at the top of the tree who is not being supervised, even in a hierarchical system, may fall into bad prescribing habits. And it's something that one hopes to correct through either supervision or by doctors being responsible for their own ongoing training and development.
Okay, and some of the recommendations in the report would appear to be really basic measures, you know, that anyone would expect are already being followed. Things like safe and effective management of clinical records, checks to make sure everyone meets the legal requirements to show that all doctors are competent. I mean, would you say that these are very basic?
Well, they're two slightly separate things. And I'll just reply to them separately. First, on the record keeping. Record keeping is a system with a large number of moving parts. You would expect that everybody within that system would understand their responsibilities within those records, within that system. But in a system with a lot of moving parts, things can go wrong. And things can go wrong in terms of the initial training that's given to people. Things can go wrong because there is a defect in the system that is not the responsibility of any one individual and that only comes to light in circumstances like that. But you would certainly expect that clinicians and non-clinicians, administrative staff, that everybody in accordance with the level of the role that they fulfill would understand their responsibilities around record keeping.
All right, Simon Mills.
Sorry,
did you want to go to the second point?
Well, you then just very quickly raised the second point, which was that about training. And as you say, it is a basic requirement. It is also true to say, though, that across the whole country, not every post that is available for a non-consultant hospital doctor is properly resourced or properly funded to ensure that, A, the requisite levels of training continue to be provided to those individuals, or that those who are expected to supervise them are properly resourced to doing so. And that may ultimately fall in the lap of individual clinicians who are blamed for making errors, whether rightly or wrongly. But the blame ultimately for it lies in a system that is not adequately resourced to make sure that every junior doctor who's exposed to the rigors of a creaking health system is given the supports that they need, and everyone who is charged with supporting those individuals is also given the supports and resources that they need.
Well, we're told time and time again, it's not about money, it's not about funding, so it's about some other systemic problem that exists there. Simon Mills, thank you very much for joining us. Simon Mills is senior counsel, former doctor and author of Medical Law in Ireland.